your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live from the EnderPro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Tonight, doing something a little bit different because my co-host, Trevor Hollis, is out of commission because him and his wife had a brand new baby boy yesterday. So congratulations on the birth of Owen. He will be back soon enough, but we're going to try something a little bit different, a little fireside chat with the most recent winner with the Engine Pro Sprints on Dirt presented by ARP, his first career victory in a sprint car, but far from his first career win, he's got a kind of an interesting story, and that is Thomas, and the last name is Schinderly, and the most unique name probably on the tour at this point, and probably most slaughtered when there isn't a series announcer, but Thomas and I had a moment to sit down to talk about how you get from Texas, being a go-kart racer, modified racer, to racing sprint cars, eventually at Attica and Fremont, and eventually up here with the Sprints on Dirt Tour. And we'll also talk about his first victory at Butler Motor Speedway and the upcoming weekend with the Sprints on Dirt up at the Manistee County Fairgrounds and Merritt Speedway. Hope you enjoy this conversation with Thomas Schinderly. Thomas Schinderly. That's the correct way to pronounce it, correct, Thomas?
Yep, you got it.
All right, your most recent winner with the Engine Pro Sprints on Dirt presented by ARP, taking a moment out of his busy schedule to join us this evening out in the race shop. And first of all, congratulations on getting that first sod win.
Well, I appreciate it.
So you have kind of an interesting story. A lot of guys that race around here are from the area. You are not. You moved to the area. Why don't you go into a little bit how you ended up getting to Michigan, first of all?
You know, it all started when I was a kid. You know, my dad kind of found out that there's a local go-kart track, and we decided to go check it out one weekend. I was 8 years old, and they had a what we called a yard cart class, but essentially any of those carts that you can buy at a Walmart or a Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that, and we happen to have one at home. So, you know, my dad asked if I wanted to run it, and I said, sure. We threw some padding on it, and I finished third the following weekend in my first race, and I was pretty much addicted from there. And, you know, pretty quickly I was running, you know, across the southern region there from Texas to Louisiana, and then, you know, we were running nationally as well, and was fortunate to pick up a national championship in 99, and then also run the Tulsa Shootout in 2003. And, you know, all these kind of led into my later years in high school. You know, we were pushing the local tracks to let me run a full-size car. And at the time, that was still when the tracks were pretty hesitant on letting the young kids start in a big car. So we kind of stuck with the go-kart scene until I got my license. And, you know, I was 15, starting to practice in a modified, and 16, ran my first full season.
In Texas, and, though, I mean, at this point, you're not here. You're originally from Texas, correct?
Yeah, I'm in the local, you know, I was born and raised in Houston. Okay. So pretty much everything was based out of Houston. And then when I was running the modified, that was mainly out of, at the time it was called Baytown Raceway Park. And then more recently it was Royal Purple Raceway. And that's actually that was a dirt track that was connected, same property as the NHRA drag strip. And that track no longer exists, but that's where, you know, I kind of cut my teeth in the modified scene for a number of years there. And, you know, at the same time, that's, you know, I was fortunate to get a little recognition and was able to run a dirt late model for a local team there, which was great because that was actually when I was moving into college and really starting to think about, you know, what I wanted to do long term. And, you know, I knew I had been around racing long enough that I knew, you know, it's really a big money game. And, you know, we certainly didn't have the big time money that it takes to go anywhere, you know, full time and to make a living out of it. So, you know, I really focused my efforts on engineering. You know, I kind of knew that would be a good way, good way to get into the racing industry or the automotive industry together. So that's kind of what I focused my efforts on. And, you know, then I guess it was senior year, we had a little local program that was, it's called FSAE. So, you know, you build a little formula style. It's almost like a mini Formula One car, using a 450 cc engine, and the car itself weighs about 400 pounds. So the little car can, you know, it moves pretty good. And I was actually to be able to be on the suspension design team and be the driver for that team as well. And we had a lot of success. And that kind of opened my door to working with Ford and GM. I interned with Ford when I was a junior, and then I actually hired in full time with GM when I graduated. And, you know, that's kind of what brought me up here.
And where did you, you know, where did really you go to college at?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Where did you go end up going to school?
I went to Texas A&M.
Okay.
So it's College Station. It's about an hour and a half away from Houston. It's obviously a pretty big university. So, you know, I had a great time there. Really learned a lot, both in engineering and then, you know, as well as the FSAE really taught me a lot as far as suspension design and the automotive industry as a whole. You know, cutting my teeth on the grassroots scene, you don't learn a whole lot on the production side, the passenger side of the car world. So being part of that program really kind of opened a lot of doors for me and, you know, really made me realize how interested I really was in the industry as a whole. So that's kind of what led to my big move here in Michigan.
Hi, everybody. TJ Buffenbarger here. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for reading TJSlideways.com for the past 21 racing seasons. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. We also have some fine sponsors that make the website and the podcast possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Ashwiken Speedway, and Slade Shock Technology. Without those people, there's no way we could do things at the level that we want to do them at. No matter what race we go to, this podcast, it makes it all possible for you. So if you have a moment, please click on their banners and support one of our fine sponsors. Now, for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. So you're from the Houston area, and you probably realize if you're going to the automotive industry, there's a pretty good chance you're going to end up here, and you did. So you've been, at this point, gone through the carts. You've gone up through the modifieds and the late models. You move up to Michigan, and all of a sudden, you start in on the sprint car scene. So how did you eventually get your way into sprint cars when you moved up here up north?
Yeah, you know, I always had the interest of being, you know, getting involved in the most competitive scene, you know, whatever that area holds, which, you know, down south, you know, when I was younger, it was the go-karts. And then when I got a little older, it definitely was the modifieds and late models in Texas. That was kind of the most competitive scene there was. And then I always had, you know, a huge interest in sprint cars. You know, they're fascinating to watch. The physics that are involved in getting these cars to go around the corner is you know, kind of mind-blowing, honestly, when you really think about it. So it was something that always drew my interest, but, you know, down in Texas, there was not a weekly sprint car series. It was always just the ASCS Southern Tour that would come through. So I never really got involved in sprint cars. And then when I moved up here, you know, I'm very well aware of, you know, the Midwest reputation of sprint cars and you know, how fierce the competition was. And I definitely was interested, and I was fortunate that, you know, my now girlfriend that I met, she happened to be friends with Dan McCarron. And at the time, she had heard me talk about racing and some of my past. And it was about 6 months later, she was like, hey, is this, you know, what you'd be interested in? And she's showing me a picture of a sprint car, and it happened to be Dan and Dane working on Dane's car at the time. And, you know, I was like, hell yeah. So I was able to message Dan on Facebook. I just said, hey, you know, I kind of gave him a, you know, really short blurb of what my background was. And I said, you know, I was interested in maybe lending a hand if they had an opening, if they needed some help. He said, yeah, but, you know, we're going to be in Ashwiken this weekend. And, you know, that was a good 5-hour haul for me. And that happened to be the next day. And I was like, sure, I'll be there. And, you know, I showed up the next day, and they kind of took me under their wing and taught me everything that they were into, and, you know, really kind of spilled over to me of me just kind of falling in love with it and really having a passion to get after it and get my own car and get back in the driver's seat.
And you jumped right into the deep end because you went to the 305 division at Attica and Fremont.
Yeah. Needless to say, you know, I learned a lot really fast, and you should have learned a little bit more before I started, but, that definitely was the deep end, that's for sure. You know, for me, that's the track is an hour and a half away. And, you know, unfortunately, that's literally the closest track for me is Fremont. So that's kind of was the biggest decision for me was it was the closest. And at the time, you know, I really thought 305s would maybe be the cheapest for me to get into, not knowing how competitive that, you know, those two tracks really are, you know, the most competitive in the country that I've seen for 305s. So it was pretty eye-opening that first half season that I ran for sure.
And what do you think is the biggest benefit you got out of running against that? Because you're running against guys like John Ivey and Paul Weaver that have tons of 410 experience and a lot of young up-and-coming drivers as well. What do you think you gained the most from that scene?
Just getting more aggressive behind the wheel. You know, there were a couple factors there. With go-karts and the late models, you really have to have a little more finesse. You know, the harder you push the car, if you make a misstep, it's actually harder to get the car back in the control and get your momentum back going. In a sprint car, with it being so light and, you know, having that horsepower to rate ratio, if you get out a little out of shape, you can gather back up pretty quickly and get going. And running with those guys down there, you know, I really learned that you can be pretty aggressive with it and still keep your momentum going. And I think that was the biggest eye-opener for me was that, you know, I really can manhandle this car and, you know, still keep the momentum up and keep your speed.
And then eventually you started popping up at some sprints on dirt events and you seem to have taken to that scene. And if you look at a map, it would probably be easier a lot of times to go to Attica and Fremont, yet you're chasing the whole sprints on dirt tour. So what made you make that decision?
Well, a couple things. I really like the rules package. I think it favors guys like me where it's you know, 90% of the time, you know, it's me doing all the work. You know, I'm footing the whole bill myself, and I get a little bit of help here and there. So with that kind of setup, it's nice to be able to compete with maybe a low cost engine. And the tires are a little harder, so they last a little longer. I just really, the rules package kind of fit my team. So that's kind of why I got the interest this year to really follow it. And so far it's worked out pretty well.
And you did upgrade during the off season, correct? You're not still running a 305?
Correct. I did get a, I got a, you know, old 12-headed 410 that I bought in the off season.
But that seems to be the magic, seems to be the hot setup in that series. I mean, some of the, that mid-range to older 410 seems to be the cars that are going the best in that series.
Yeah, I think it helps with that smaller tire and you know, the tire is also, the right rear is also a little harder. And I think it helps to have the, maybe the mid-range engine where it's a little more drivable. You can be a little smoother with it, especially on the Michigan sandy tracks. You know, they definitely get to, tend to be a little more dry slick than what I was used to at the Attica Fremont. So I think that a little less horsepower, something that's a little more controllable for the driver is really the hot ticket at the moment.
And that brings us to last weekend where you finally broke through. You've been close. I mean, you've been knocking on the door of this for a while. Tell us how you scored that first victory.
Yeah, you know, I really got to help. You know, I really got to thank Dan McCarron, Dane Nida, Brian Kemenaw at Kistler. Those guys have really got me straightened out this year. You know, I was kind of beat my head against the wall with a couple older cars that I had the last 2 years. And, you know, that was really forced me to throw some goofy setups on it to try and get the cars to handle them. And I finally bit the bullet and I got a Maxim, you know, a newer Maxim this year. And that's really got me pointed the right direction. And, you know, I was just able to kind of tweak on it on my own every week and get a little faster, a little faster. And, you know, kind of gain my confidence as well. And, you know, the biggest part, too, is, you know, getting fast is one thing, and then being able to run up front consistently and make the right decisions when you're at the front of the pack is another big part of it. And, you know, unfortunately, me being, you know, out of the, I'd say, top five positions for a number of years until this year where I'm really running up front consistently, it's taken a little while to make adjustments when you're at the front of the pack and trying to make the right decisions around that traffic and make the right line choices as you're trying to get around people. So I think a combo of a lot of those little things have all added up over the last 2.5 years to get to where I am now.
And then, you know, about the feature on Saturday, let's break that down a little bit. What happened? How did you get up front and how'd you hold the lead?
Yeah, you know, I could tell right away on the warm-up lap that, you know, we were in a really good spot as far as the setup. I think most drivers can admit that when we go out there and you're just kind of buzzing the tires and getting warmed up, you can tell pretty quickly if you guys, if the car is going to be good or if it's going to be a handful. And, you know, I could tell right away that we had hit the setup for Butler. You know, Butler was dry slick all night, and that middle to top groove was starting to clean off. And, you know, we had the car hooked up pretty well. So I started sixth, and like I said, I had a pretty good idea that we were going to be fast, so I made sure to stay really patient on the start and start picking some guys off one by one, and was really able to make some moves getting into turn one. And, you know, that was kind of my whole plan, was just to stay, keep my nose clean, and just kind of work my way to the front. I knew it was 25 laps, and sometimes these races can be long when the track's really dry slick with a lot of caution. So just trying to be patient. And, you know, it actually worked out in my favor. That's, was able to get the lead and start passing some lap cars and trying to stay out of trouble. And there was one late caution, which was eerily similar to the same incident I had at Thunderbird, where I was leading the whole race and then really late caution. But, you know, I was able to kind of learn some of that stuff from Thunderbird, and I stuck with my same line and you know, really managed the tires, try not to buzz them. And you know, that's pretty much how it worked out.
The feeling when you got in a victory lane?
That same feeling it's always been. You know, I've been riding that feeling all week. You know, you're on like cloud nine. It makes everything, all that hard work, worth it. And, you know, it's something that I've really missed for a number of years. So it's great to be back.
I'm starting to look at SOD points now. You're only 45 out of the lead, it looks like. Have you been paying attention to that, or are you at this point just going night to night?
Well, you know, I was earlier in the season. It certainly was not my intention to start, but, you know, the first couple races went really well, and I noticed that we were, you know, in contention for points, and not only that, but, you know, point fund money would be a huge help to me this offseason. So I was paying attention to it, but, you know, unfortunately we had I-96, I had a mag failure, and, you know, I didn't have a spare mag, so that we kind of lost a ton of points there. And then I had a rock around failure at Merritt Speedway in July, and so I lost a ton of points there as well. So there's a reason I'm, you know, 50-some points out. You know, it's almost a full race, and that's pretty much what I've lost, just due to some mechanical issues. And, you know, that's part of a long season. So I have been paying attention, but, you know, that's, I'm not too tied up in it, just because I know I've basically given a whole race away with some of those issues.
And speaking of races, you have two this weekend. You're going to a venue we haven't seen in a while on the SOD Tour, the Manistee County Fairgrounds, the Big Ground Half Mile. And then in sharp contrast, you're going back to Merritt. So how are you going to approach a weekend where you have two such very different racetracks?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm pretty curious myself how Manistee is going to go. You know, we run at Hartford this year so far three times, and that's definitely been my worst track. You know, Hartford's just still, it's very wide and it's very fast, and you do need horsepower there. And I'm hoping that Manistee lives up to the Google Maps image that we're all looking at of it being a big, long oval and very little straightaways and hopefully very sandy. If that's the case, hopefully it'll play in my favor. We'll see. And then obviously Merritt, you know, I'm looking forward to going back to Merritt. I love that track. Raced there last year with a 305 and was able to finish second. And it's a great facility, and they do a great job with the track. So I'm excited to get back there for sure.
5 years from now, five-year plan, where do we want to see? Where do you want to be in sprint car racing, or maybe in motorsports in general in 5 years?
Hopefully not running all of this on my own dime. that would be great in 5 years. That's probably as far as I'm thinking about it, honestly. It's just trying to get through the year, not tear anything up too much. You know, hopefully I'm knocking on wood here in the office. yeah, I wouldn't say that I have some master plan as far as that goes. You know, I'm fortunate that I work for, you know, a major OEM, and I do a lot of test driving there. And as far as that goes, that kind of gets some of my passion for driving a little bit. But certainly we like to advance, you know, there's no doubt. I definitely like to expand the team and be able to run a lot more races and do a lot more bigger races as well. So it's just it's a matter of, you know, getting to the point where I'm winning consistently and running up front before I start thinking about stuff like that. So just trying to focus on staying up front right now.
Well, Thomas, congratulations on getting that big first win. Best of luck this coming weekend. It's going to be interesting to see your progress as the season winds down here.
Well, I really appreciate it. Hey, I want to thank, you know, number one, I got to thank my girlfriend, and she's, you know, basically my crew chief. She's really, it's been amazing. You know, one of the bigger factors in me getting better has really been her help this year. You know, she's really taken on a lot of work at the track as far as, you know, all the small things that a lot of people don't think about as far as filling the car up with fuel and making sure the tires are flipped correctly and grooving the tires and just all this little stuff. She really helps out a lot. And then Dan McCarron, Dane Nida, these guys have answered all my dumb questions for the last 2 years. And, you know, they've really put up with a lot of, and really pointed me in the right direction. And same thing with, you know, the guys at Kistler Racing Products. They've helped a ton. And then, you know, my dad, you know, he's dying. You know, he's down there at in Texas and not able to be up here for all this that I got going on. You know, he started a number of projects as far as new companies down in Houston, and you know, he's dying to be a part of the racing scene again. So, you know, he's provided a ton of moral support over the phone and really kept my spirits up over the last 2 years as I've been kind of bummed out, trying to get my get myself back to victory lane. So I got to thank all these people.
It's good that you remember the girlfriend thing, because Dane forgot that at a banquet 1 year, and I was there. It was amusing.
Big mistake.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, Thomas, it's been great to sit here and chat with you. I hope you have a great weekend, and like I said, have good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
That's going to wrap up this Fireside Chat edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Which, of course, don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, plenty of outlets, pretty much where any podcast is found. Hopefully now we found a little bit of time here to carve one of these out, we'll be able to be a little more consistent at putting a few more of these things out, especially now at the Knoxville and a lot of the big races are behind us. But thank you for taking time to download this, and I hope you have a great weekend of racing. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways Podcast.